Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. The text for this morning's message is Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Romans 5, 1 through 5. This is Paul writing to the young church at Rome. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. Many of you are familiar with Dr. Charles Swindoll. Dr. Swindoll is a noted pastor. He is the host of Insight for Living program, and he is president of the Dallas Theological Seminary. And Dr. Swindoll said, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts, than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do, than appearances, than giftedness or skill. Attitude will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one thing we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes." And I believe Dr. Swindoll is correct. What happens to us is not as important as how we respond to what happens to us. It is not what life brings, but what we bring to this life. We all know people who were raised in good homes, who had every advantage that a person growing up could possess, and yet they never rose above mediocrity. We all know people who were raised in poverty and abuse, and yet accomplished great things. We have known exceedingly intelligent people and gifted people who rarely contributed anything to the world. We have known people who were very average in intelligence and whose ability was not that great. But some were willing to believe and work hard in spite of great disadvantages, while others gave up before they even got started. Some rested on their laurels. Others had a dream. Some complained about what was wrong and put forth no effort to make things right. Some had faith in God and others had faith in nothing. Some lived in cynicism and despair, while others in lesser circumstances lived in faith and hope. Those who were successful possessed remarkable attitudes towards life. And there are key factors which should be a part of our attitude, and I want us to look at three of those factors this morning. The first key factor which should be a part of our attitude is authenticity. Be real. Be yourself. Be the same in public as you are in private. Authenticity is an attribute of honesty and humility. We should not try to be someone that we are not. We should not wear a mask around others. You know, it requires great courage to be authentic. It requires no courage to hide behind a mask and a facade that we present to others. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." He's saying that God's kingdom, once we're there, we'll be fully known by the others there. We will fully be able to see ourselves and others as they truly are and not as a reflection in a mirror. And we will be fully loved by those other believers in Christ. And this is the model for living as a member of the body of Christ, a member of the church. This is a model we should emulate. We are to be open and authentic with each other and support and encourage one another, working together to accomplish God's will for each of our lives and for this body of believers of which we are a part, in order to advance His kingdom in spite of the devil's to thwart our work. A second factor which should be a part of our attitude is cheerfulness. Be of good cheer. We cannot be of good cheer if we are constantly thinking the worst, if we're constantly looking for reasons to complain. How can we ever convince the world that we have good news when all we talk about is bad news? In fact, we don't have just good news, we have the greatest news of all. And that is that Jesus can be your Lord and Savior. It's news that the world needs to hear, and some people have never heard, news that it desperately needs. And if you are angry at the world, you cannot be at peace in the world. If you are bitter towards your fellow man, you cannot minister to him or her. You must love the world as God loves the world. You know, Jesus said in John, and John recorded it in his gospel, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Do you believe that evil or good is winning the day? If you think evil is winning, then you're saying that evil is stronger than good. You're saying that the devil is stronger than God. I'm here to tell you that that battle has already been fought. And Jesus won. Jesus overcame the world as it was dominated by Satan. We know Jesus will rule the world when he returns. However, the fact that such event will occur is only evidence of what has been the truth all along. And that truth is that the kingdom, that Jesus brought the kingdom of God into the world, and God has been advancing it ever since that time. As Christians, we should be full of anticipation and excitement about what God is accomplishing in the world today. Our life should reflect an attitude of cheerfulness, not one of negativism and bitterness. Christians are cheerful because, as Paul wrote in our text today, we have hope. For us, sorrow is always a temporary emotion. And joy is the norm with Christians. We know life overcomes death. We know light overcomes darkness. We know that love is stronger than hate. We know that good will ultimately prevail in this world. And we know that Jesus reigns. Jesus tells us that he came to earth in order for his joy to live in us. That was one of the purposes of coming, not only to be a sacrifice and to be an atonement for our sins, but so that his joy would be a beacon through us to others. You know, often we look at circumstances in which we are involved and say, I wish none of this had happened. But more often than not, we cannot control what events occur that affect our life. All we can control is what to do with the time that God gives us here on this earth. We must realize that God's hand is at work in our life and in the life of His church. And even in the difficult circumstances, God is going to prevail. They cannot deter God's plan. And if we understand this fact and have faith in God, then we should experience joy and be of good cheer. A third key factor which should be a part of our attitude is an awareness of God. Most of us have seen either in person, on a street corner somewhere, on television, a person who is predicting the end of the world. And inevitably, he or she or someone with them is carrying a sign that says, that reads, Jesus is coming. Well, as Christians, we have better news than Jesus is coming. We know Jesus is already here. Now, surely he's going to return for the rapture, but we know that he's already here. Sometimes we focus so much on the second coming that we forget Jesus has already come and gone back to be with the Father in heaven. But he has not abandoned us here. He may not be living here on earth in the way he did in New Testament times. Yet Jesus is most certainly here. He has established God's kingdom here. He has defeated hell. He has defeated sin. He has defeated death. And he lives in this world that his Father created. What if you lived every moment as though God was all around you? What if you lived every moment as if anything that happened to you, God could remedy? What if you really lived your life as though your sins and failures had been erased from God's mind? What if you lived as though the power of the Holy Spirit lived in you? What if you were walking around in a world created by God, loved by Him, and blessed by His presence? What if you lived believing that the defeat of evil is intimate? What if you lived as though every person around you were a result of God's will and His creation and were created in His image? What if you lived as though you were meant not to be alone but to be a part of the family of God? What if the very sight of a tree or a cloud inspired you to worship and live life in deep gratitude and thanksgiving to God? If all these what-ifs came true, how different would your life be? A new attitude in the new year can literally change your life. In his book entitled Handel's Messiah, a devotion commentary, Joseph E. McCabe after hearing Handel's Messiah performed, wrote the following: "Never again are we to look at the stars as we did when we were children and wonder how far it is to God. A being outside our world who created it would be a spectator looking on, but taking no part in this life where we try to be brave in spite of all the bafflement. A God who created the earth and withdrew could be mighty, but he could not love. Who could love a God remote from us when suffering is our lot in life? Our God is closer than our problems, for they are out there to be faced, and he is here beside us, Emmanuel." What a great attitude towards God, our Creator. Imagine the joy of knowing the love of God. Imagine the joy of knowing the love of believers, that they love you like God loves them. Imagine the joy of knowing that you love other believers and those who are unsaved as God loves you. No matter what their station in life, no matter who they are, if we develop an attitude in 2012 which encompasses authenticity, then we shall not be two-faced in our relationships with one another, but we shall support and encourage each other as we encounter the devil's traps individually and collectively as God's church. If we develop an attitude in 2012 which encompasses cheerfulness, then we shall not be angry at the world and bitter toward our fellow man, and we shall minister to all and share the gospel with them. If we develop an attitude in 2012 which encompasses an awareness of God, then we shall truly know God's love and shall love others as God loves us. And what a great way to fulfill the Great Commission. So I ask all of us to reflect on our attitude in the 2011. If it's not in line with the teachings of God, if we're not cheerful, if we are not authentic with others, if we're not aware of God, let's pledge to ourselves and to the Lord that we're going to do that. And if you're not saved, if you are a lost person, and the Holy Spirit has maybe been tugging at your heart to get you to become a part of a body of believers, to get you to become a child of God with an attitude about which we discussed, then we invite you to come this morning and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Say, "Lord, I want to have an attitude that glorifies you, an attitude that lifts you up, an attitude that shows others you in me." Then come forward as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 325, Whiter Than